Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Michelle Roman, and I'm the mayor of the city of Lockport. And I want to start off by saying that we are deeply, deeply saddened by what occurred in the city last Friday into Saturday morning. And we give our deepest condolences to the family of Cheyenne, and also to the families of the other five victims. And I just want to thank everybody from the public who has come forward with information, and I encourage people to continue to do so. And those who were involved as victims and as witnesses, to know that we do have mental health support for you. This is a traumatic experience that you've gone through, and our Niagara County Department of Health has a crisis service line that you can call, and they can hook you up with some supports. And I'm going to give it over to the chief of police, and he's going to make the statement today. I want to thank our entire police department and all of the detectives who are standing behind me for all of their hard work while we work through these things, and all of our partners throughout the county, including the district attorney.
Thank you, Mayor. First off, I'd like to give my deepest condolences to the parents and the family and friends of Cheyenne and the other five victims that were involved in the incident at 43 South Niagara Street. Secondly, I would like to thank you all for coming. As you know, the first 48 to 72 hours are very critical in regards to any homicide investigation. The detectives behind me have been working diligently and nonstop for the last 3 days. Yesterday, 11:30 p.m., we have charged two juvenile suspects, both males, one 17 years old, one 16 year old. Due to them being juveniles, I cannot release their names at this time. They have been charged with intentional homicide, criminal possession of a weapon second. This is still an ongoing investigation, and more charges are pending. The juveniles are being detained at this time, and I'll let the district attorney speak further to that matter. The criminal possession of a weapon charge is a C felony, Class C felony. The intentional homicide is a Class A. And like I said, it's still a very active investigation, and we still need the public to come forward if they have any information. They've been fantastic. We have gotten videos, we have gotten text messages, whether it be through our tip line, our Stop It app, contacting the district attorney's office. The public has been very, very helpful, but we still continue to need their support in order to bring the rest of this case to closure. At this moment, though, I would like to take the time to thank the Lockport Detective Division that is standing behind me. They have worked tirelessly over the last 3 days, and they're working on about 3 hours of sleep. It's due to their hard work and dedication that we were able to bring justice for Cheyenne, and we will be bringing justice for the other victims as well. I would like to introduce Captain Anthony Palumbo, who is our Chief of Detectives, Detective Adam Piedmont, Detective Warren Hale, Lieutenant Detective Travis Mapes, Detective Robert Holmes, Detective Trish Vosberg. Due to their hard work and diligence in conjunction with the Violent Crimes Task Force that was put in place by Sheriff Felsetti, myself, and Chief Licata from Niagara Falls PD, we were able to culminate all our resources and bring all our efforts to bear. Obviously, there's an increase in crime not just locally in our city, but across the county. And with the Violent Crime Task Force, it allows us to work with our federal partners in the U.S. Attorney's Office, ATF, DEA, and so on. So with that being said, I would also like to thank the District Attorney's Office, Caroline Witasik, Doreen Hoffman, Mary Jean Bowman for all their help. I would like to also thank Sheriff Filsetti, the New York State Police, the U.S. Marshals Service, the Niagara County Crime Analysis Center, and all other law enforcement agencies that have been helping us and bear the burden during this time of investigation, this time of sorrow for this family. At this time, I'm going to turn it over to District Attorney Witasik. Thank you, and God bless.
Good afternoon. The arrest last night for the death of Cheyenne Farewell is a tragic afternoon, really, for this community. Yes, we've made an arrest, but we have the death of a beautiful young girl, young woman, and five other victims. And we also have juveniles from our community that we believe we have probable cause to arrest in this case. As you heard, we charged intentional murder. Both defendants were arraigned at 12:45 today by Youth Part Judge Diane Vitello in Niagara Falls City Court. Bail was set for both at $500,000 cash and $1 million bond. The next court date is October 26th at 9:30 a.m. We anticipate many additional charges, including charges under a depraved theory of murder, and charges for each and every one of the shooting victims from Saturday morning. We were able to make these arrests based on probable cause, but at this point, until after trial, these are allegations and everyone is presumed innocent until proven guilty. We still need the help of our community and everyone who has any knowledge about this very important case. As you know, many young people attended the party, and they may be concerned that their parents find out. They may be even discouraged from others to participate in this case in any way. But we need your courage to come forward with anything you may know that can assist us. These are arrests. This is not a trial that we need to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. We still need your help. This is a tragedy beyond words. Cheyenne was an innocent victim. She deserves justice, her family deserves justice, and this community deserves justice. The victims in this case, two 21-year-old females, one 18-year-old male, two 16-year-olds, one male, one female, and one 15-year-old male. Three from Medina, two from Lockport, one from Corfu. Let me be crystal clear. This could have been my teenage son or daughter. It could have been any one of our children. So I need parents of children that were at that party to encourage them to come forward and speak the truth about what happened that early morning. Everyone here is working day and night to hold those responsible for the loss of this precious life. Chief Abbott listed the law enforcement agencies that have already worked on the case. I just want you to know that we heard from J.P. Kennedy, from the U.S. Attorney's Office, from Orleans County District Attorney Joe Cardone, and the Medina Police Department. I will tell you, this is Western New York's finest hour. Law enforcement has shined bright since this tragedy. They have reached out, willing to help in any way with any resource needed to solve this case, facing this tragedy. My
Violent Crimes Bureau Chief Doreen Hoffman, who will not stand with us today. She's always in the background, but let me tell you, she was called to the scene Saturday morning and worked tirelessly alongside my second assistant, Mary Jean Bowman, and all of our law enforcement partners, all day, all night, past midnight last night. The hard work that has gone into this case, and I know will continue to go in this case, will continue in this case, deserves recognition. But I also want to speak briefly to the gun violence across our nation, across our state, and yes, unfortunately, in our county. We have seen higher numbers than I have ever seen in 25 years in criminal law in this county. The alleged shooters in this case are 16 and 17 years old. Every single day in this job, I hear about illegal guns in the hands of our young people. Shooting over what? A grudge? To vindicate some perceived issue between them? You cannot take these deaths back. Cheyenne Farewell was not part of this dispute. She was not part of the grudge between the people involved in this situation. She was simply in the wrong place at the wrong time. And so were the other five victims in this case. Yet this morning, as we're doing this press conference, the Farewell family is burying their smart, talented, beautiful daughter with the brightest of futures. For what? For what? So I need this community to rally, to not accept this behavior, to tell everyone to put the guns down. Because now we have someone who has no part in any of this being killed. And it will happen again if this gun violence continues. Just by a show of comparison, since I have been district attorney, the first 3 years here, we had three, and at the maximum, four homicides in this county. We are now at 16. One infant, one from arson, the rest from stabbings and shootings. Because of the dedication of law enforcement, we have made arrests in 12 of those 16 cases. But that doesn't even include the vehicular crashes we've had and the deaths from those. That is completely unacceptable. And every one of those losses is someone's son, daughter, sister, brother. One is too many. 16 is outrageous. Thank you. We will take some questions. At this moment, both individuals have been charged with intentional murder, which is murder in the second degree, under intentional theory. That does not mean we're confined to that theory exclusively when we go to the grand jury. Just to be very specific, these are arrests. This case has not been indicted yet. The arrests were made late last night, early morning. So we still have to go to the grand jury where we can add any additional charges. Last night, it was imperative that we make sure these two individuals were off the streets and were being held and for arraignment. There are many additional charges, including additional theories of murder that can be presented to the grand jury. And one of those that I mentioned was depraved indifference murder. As many can imagine, you know, people ask me all the time, what does depraved indifference murder mean? I cannot imagine a situation that exemplifies depraved indifference than shooting into a closed garage door, knowing that there's people behind that door and not caring. So we will have additional theories of murder presented to the grand jury, as well as every single charge appropriate for all of the victims in this case.
So you mentioned that,
hold on one second. You want to finish?
You had mentioned you also, I might have heard you wrong, I just want a clarification on it. Were any of the people inside that garage the target of this?
Not to our knowledge.
So this was totally just a random thing that happened?
No, that's not what I'm saying. These victims were not, to our knowledge, the intended target. I'm not going to get specific between the garage and the house itself.
But is it your understanding that the shooters here, that they thought that their intended targets were inside that house?
Well, I know it's your job to ask very specific questions. There are some parts of this that we still want to keep close to the vest for obvious reasons. I don't want to let out to the public our entire theory of the case, so I'm just going to withhold from answering that at this time. Yes. Yes.
Can you explain how the youth court system works to change the law on that?
So, yes, as many of you know, we have a youth part in Niagara County. The judge who presides over that youth part for the entire county is Judge Diane Vitello out of Niagara Falls City Court. And so any of our youth that are charged ultimately end up in that court. And then may go to criminal court after proceedings there, or may go to family court, depending on the nature of the case, the circumstances, the age of the individual. But they all go through that specialized court. There's also specialized holding facilities for the individuals when they are either an adolescent offender or a juvenile offender.
Is it how you can raise the age?
Yes, it is all raise the age. Correct. Before raise the age, they would have come through our regular county court criminal justice system. Since raise the age, they're now handled through our youth part. That does not mean it changes the fact that we can, and we have, and we continue. We will continue to charge both of these individuals as adults. We still have that ability because of the serious nature of the charges. Hold on. I got to do one at a time. Before raise the age, it would have started and gone through naturally through county court. So now proceedings have to go through youth part, but raise the age did not change the fact that we can charge juveniles of this age for murder. There are illegal guns, unfortunately, all over our community that come through other states and are brought here by individuals and sold on the street.
Are you doing anything to curb this?
We have been working on this for a number of years. We work with our partners at the U.S. Attorney's Office. Certainly, this has been the focus of many law enforcement efforts. We work with the gun elimination of, the gun elimination program for New York State. The acronym is GIVE. There is a lot of concerted effort across the state to stop and curb illegal guns coming through. It is a very difficult task. I will tell you, we this year have seen such a rise in illegal gun possession cases, as well as non-fatal shootings. You're going to hear a lot, unfortunately, with social media, and we are dealing with teenagers, you're going to hear a lot, but I'm not going to comment on that today because it would go to the theory of the case.
Was it a drive-by shooting? Could you elaborate a little bit more about that?
To our knowledge, it was not a drive-by per se. It was not a drive-by. Yes. Absolutely, they're fruitful. I think there's a natural reluctance at first. What I don't want to do is give the kind of false impression that once an arrest is made, anybody that was there is like, oh, good, I don't need to get involved, because that's not accurate. We need everybody's information. And, what's important is that people need to appreciate that they may know something and they think it's nothing. They don't think it can be, it's of any significance. And with what we know as the true facts of the case and what we know of the evidence that we have, something these individuals may know and think is innocuous or not of significance may be of significance to us. So it is important, it is essential that anybody that was at that party let us know, let any of our law enforcement partners know that are involved in the investigation of this case, what it is they saw, heard, saw on social media. As you know, Snapchat is one of those programs that, you know, something comes up and then it goes away. That's how a lot of our teenagers communicate. We need to know all of that. And if anyone took a picture of a Snapchat before it disappeared, we need all of it. In part. Well, listen, I will tell you right now, as many of you know, I started with our law enforcement partners, the SafeCam program in this county, wanting every individual homeowner and every business to let us know and log that program so that police can get to that footage quickly, know that it exists in the area. And this case is a good example of video footage and how it can help in a case. So yes, we had the cooperation of a lot of businesses in the area, and that has provided significant evidence in the case.
Have you tracked down where exactly these guns came from the 16th and
17th? We are working on that, yes. Well, at this point, I'm not going to address that. We don't see that in this case. Hypothetically, if that were to ever happen, there may be charges considered, but that's not our understanding in this case.
Can you explain why they were arraigned in Niagara Falls? Were they found in Niagara Falls?
No. Niagara Falls, the actual jurisdiction of the city court, has nothing to do with where they were found and located. It has everything to do with that as our county hub for Youth Park.
And could you maybe further explain the communication to the public on this ongoing investigation? Obviously, there's been a lot of criticism that we've heard from elected officials about why police aren't policing more information. I know that there was one social media post that was pretty much put out, but other than that, it's been relatively quiet on this investigation. Why take that approach?
First of all, that's not an approach. It is an essential strategy for cases like this, okay? So, there is always a balance of transparency, but the utmost importance in any of these cases is the evidence that we have to preserve and maintain its integrity, and you and the public deserve to know information. Certainly the fact that Cheyenne, had passed away, and in some of the circumstances were certainly written in the paper. The fact that there were other victims, that certainly was written in the paper. But I can tell you, as Chief Abbott rightfully said, the first 24 to 48 hours, and I would add 72 hours in a case like this, is crucial. These men and women here, including people from my office, were up day and night. And as much as the public may have a right to know, there is a balance there with the fact that they are actually working on the ground. So frankly, if anyone has anything to say about the lack of information, I will tell you this. This department has done everything that they can to try to make that balance and have that balance. But when Chief Abbott's calling me and I'm saying, no, you do not let certain information out, that is between our two departments for a darn good reason. So, very good question. Yes, Section 60 of our penal law specifically addresses the sentencing of adolescent offenders. And essentially, if they're tried as adults for murder in the second degree, they too face 25 years to life, like anyone 18 years old or older. However, there is discretion with the court under Raise the Age that they can consider defendant's age when issuing a sentence. So there is no reason for me to recuse. We're actually, if you think about it, on the same, if there was someone on the opposite side of this that would have any concerns with this case, that might be something to consider. In this case, what Chris is referring to is that a family member of one of the victims works alongside my husband. There's no conflict there. We are on the same side of this case. Their family and certainly our office.
Chief, I asked you on the phone one day, and I'll ask you just again, the incident Monday, any further information as to whether that may have been connected to any of this or completely separate?
Well, Chris, at this time, it's still under investigation, and I can't really comment on that. I would say, though, that to answer Mr. Babal's question, I have reached out, I've spoke to you on Monday, I've talked to several others. Unfortunately, I don't always have the luxury of getting back to everybody. There have been press releases, there has been information out in the newspaper, the Union Sun. Like I said, Chris from Channel 4 was on the news on Monday. You know, there, as much as we want to give you information, sometimes we just can't. And unfortunately, social media has a mind of its own. My God, on Monday, you'd have thought the sky was falling, the apocalypse was coming, because you're hearing on social media, we've got 7 robberies and this assault and that assault. Look, at these fine officers in this department are working diligently, and I am helping them as well. We're a small department. That's why we bring other resources and assets to bear from throughout the county. We are all about the safety of the citizens, all about their safety. And that includes the public helping us as well. But there are times where I just cannot give you that information because it may compromise something. It's not for us not wanting to, it's not for lack of transparency, okay? So at the moments we can, when we can say something, we will, all right? And I'm sure you all know this is a tragic thing for this young lady to lose her life, all right? And I know that you're not trying to compromise the investigation. I know that you want to give information out to the public. I know that the public is nervous, all right? But when you look at what is going on, not only in the city of Lockport, Niagara Falls, Buffalo, Rochester, New York State, Raise the Age has an issue, okay? Legislators stepping in and basically making it a catch and release. When you're talking about Raise the Age, we've had arrests for juveniles, 16, 17 range, that have gotten appearance tickets for family court, and guess what we do? You're allowed to walk out the door. And when you do that, you're setting the precedent because now these people feel emboldened. I understand the need when young adults make mistakes, but when you're dealing with guns and the death of innocents, there is no room for mistakes, all right? And like I said, I apologize if I haven't talked to you all individually. There have been press releases. It has been on the news, okay? As your comment, Mr. Braval, I can't speak to the two that you interviewed last night. All I can do is tell you what I can tell you right now. And with good cause, between myself and the district attorney, we decided not to put out a large portion of this information. The public has been great. The videos have helped us immensely. The information that we have gathered, what takes time is filtering through the rest of the BS that is coming through social media, Facebook. Everybody wants to know. Everybody wants to be in the know. And my God, I want everybody to know. I live in this city too. I have children. And if you don't think that I want this community to be safe for everybody, including myself, you're sadly mistaken. So with that being said, I thank you for your time. Caroline, if you have anything else?
No, I'm good.
Could you clarify, Caroline?
Yeah.
You said bail was set, is that correct?
Yes, bail was set 12:45 today.
And is that would remand have been?
You have to, in youth part, there is a presumption towards release. So that was what Judge Vitello felt most appropriate. It is very difficult to justify a remand in youth part for any circumstances.
Is that a concern? Because I know in criminal court, murder charge is very, very, very
Absolutely. Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.